Good morning and happy Easter, everybody. I guess for the past 20 years, we have been down in Mobile at Leadership Training for Christ. So this is definitely different. But growing up, I loved Easter. Still do, for many reasons why. One reason, I love dyeing Easter eggs on Saturday night. I love the fact that you could drop that little bitty tablet into that ceramic mug, you pour some vinegar on it, and you watch that clear liquid turn into that vibrant color. I love that. But I didn't really love that flimsy metal egg holder they would give you, that you would take that boiled egg and you would put it in that clear liquid. And a few minutes later, it comes out and you've got a beautiful dyed egg. It would never fail that out of all the eggs that we would dye, at least one egg would fall off of that flimsy egg holder, splash into the dye, get you all dyed up. And then what I remember the most about that was how upset I would get when my egg would get cracked. And I would say to my mom and dad, "Oh no, it's ruined." And they would say, "Oh no, son, that crack is gonna highlight the color." "But how?" "Son, you will always know that this cracked egg with the highlighted color, that's going to be extra special. Everyone will know that this one is yours." I want you to think about that because we'll certainly come back to that story in a moment. Second reason I loved Easter was that all the Pruitts, we always got a new outfit, okay, for Easter Sunday. My dad, brother, and I would wear matching suits for years. We had blue leisure suits, peach leisure suits. At times, we would wear pink shirts with plaid ties, plaid pants with a navy blue sports coat. Man, we looked good. And if you'll notice my dad's shoes with the cool stripe on it, I wanted some shoes like that. I always wanted to look just like my dad. Third reason that I loved Easter was family time. We knew we would hear a lesson at church about the resurrection, and after church, we would go see our grandparents in Gadsden, Alabama for a huge lunch, and then the big Easter egg hunt with all the relatives and all the cousins. All the kids would have to line up their Easter baskets at the edge of the driveway and the carport, and then wait in the kitchen next to Mama and Papa's carport. And they had this big old wooden door with one of those long rectangular glass windows, and we would press our ear up against, all these kids pressing our ear up against the door to hear the revealing words, "Are you ready?" And that came from my dad or Uncle Billy. That let us know. That was our cue to come busting through the doors to retrieve our baskets and to start the Easter egg hunt. I loved those times. Cousins were running everywhere, stepping on hard-boiled eggs, stepping on plastic eggs, crushing them. You know, those plastic ones, they never fit back together. You're staring at a hard-boiled egg that's dyed, it's in pieces, and you stare at it, look at it, and then you throw it in your basket. You're going to keep it anyway. I loved it. Eggs hidden under one leaf, eggs hidden in the fork of a tree just above eye level so you never saw it. Eggs hidden in a tulip bloom. One egg was always hidden in Pawpaw's black or brown sock. Eggs hidden in the mailbox. And then that one special egg, unlike any other. You remember that one that got cracked during the dyeing process. That one became the one that everyone was searching for. The one that had the special markings on it. That was the one that everyone was searching for the most. That was the one you got a huge surprise if you found it. As we got older, though, the hunt became much harder. There wasn't as much running, and there were a lot fewer eggs to find. But I tell you what, there was a whole lot more diligent searching. Although there weren't as many eggs to find, there was always that cracked egg with the special markings on it. That one was always the most important one to search for and the most important to find. That one special egg, to me, what was always so special about this was when you would see a cousin giving that special egg to another so they could enjoy the prize too. And you wonder during the next hunt, if they found that special egg again, would they hold it all for themselves or would they share it with others? It reminds me of that Adventure Club song we would sing every time we would pass that little basket for the collection around. Love is like a lucky penny. Hold it tight and you won't have any. Give it away and you'll have plenty. You'll end up having more. Don't you love that song? I love it. Let's move on from an Easter egg to our Lord who had been crucified. The special markings on Jesus were from the nails driven into his wrists and his feet, the marks left from the crown of thorns on his head, and the marks across his back from the Roman whip, the marks on his side from the spear piercing him. I want you to listen to this story and think about this question as I read it. Have you found Jesus? Have you found Jesus? If you have, are you sharing him with others? Are you allowing him to be the most influential factor in everything that you do and everything that you say? He was crucified on a Friday, and it's Sunday now, a Sunday like no other, a Sunday where the entire world would wake up to a totally different reality, a Sunday that hinged on prophecies, promises, and hope. Where is Jesus? Let's see. Luke 24, on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, it's Sunday now, 3 days after the crucifixion, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. Guess we have got to take time and allow our eyes to adjust to the darkness of that tomb. Something's not normal here. The stone is supposed to be in front of the entrance, but it has been moved. And these women came prepared with spices, similar to the reasons that we deliver flowers to the family of a loved one who has passed. Their hearts are grieving death. Their minds have been moved to sorrow. And the boldness that had to occur from these two words, they entered. And I hope that you can see it on your TVs because it just looks black here and it makes me so sad because those two words are just monumental. They entered. When normal turns to abnormal, do you enter to see what you came looking for? Or do you turn away? Do you run? And do you hide? Now, tradition and ritual of preparing a body for burial becomes a hunt for something much more. It says, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And I ask you, in all the chaos and uncertainty over the past few weeks, where is Jesus? In a time that is driving us into isolation, where is Jesus? In a season of suffering and fear, where is Jesus? Let's read on to verse 4. I hope that it's not working too great. It's hard to read. So I'm going to read it for you, okay? Verse 4 of Luke 24. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen." Do you hear those seven words? Say them with me. He is not here. He has risen. And you think, whew. Do you hear what these angels are asking you? Why do you look for the living among the dead? Cemeteries are for the dead. The empty tomb is for us to walk in. The empty tomb takes our belief to conviction. But we must enter and embrace the fact that we serve a risen Savior. If the story of Jesus would have ended at the crucifixion, that would have just been sad, wouldn't it? If the story of Jesus would have ended at the threshold of a closed, dark tomb with the body of a dead person, then everything we live for would be meaningless. I would feel like I had been tricked, like the egg just above eye level where you couldn't see it. My God doesn't trick. My God convicts. How? He says, don't run away. Enter the empty tomb and listen to these seven words. He is not here. He has risen. Because of those seven words, I can be convicted of songs like, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits upon the throne and unto the Lamb." Why? Because he conquered death. I can be convicted of songs like, "Jesus is Lord, my Redeemer." Why? Because his desire is to buy us back. I can be convicted of songs like, "Lord, be there for me when I fall. Be there for me when I call. Be there for me, dear Lord." Why? I'll tell you what, I'm not calling some dead person. I'm going to call someone who's alive and can bring life and bring counsel and bring healing and bring hope. That's why I can be convicted of songs like that. I can be convicted of songs like, "In Christ alone my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song." To have Jesus to be our song every single day. Think of the impact. My dad's favorite. "Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future. And life is worth the living just because he lives." Because of those seven words, that is what drives me to focus on the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Because of those seven words, hope is found. Because of those seven words, Jesus is not just a good man. Jesus is Lord. Because of those seven words, nothing can separate us from him. Matter of fact, I came across this video the other day about a couple from Alabama in their 80s. The wife is in a nursing home. She has late stages of Alzheimer's, and with the COVID-19 restrictions at hand, no one could visit her. Not even her husband. At least no one could be in the same room with her except the nursing staff. But her husband found her. found her outside the bedroom window, and he sang her this song. If y'all will just hit play up there, that would be great. This is the best video ever.
And in Alabama, for 81-year-old John... And in Alabama, for 81-year-old John Klein and his sweet Anne, marriage may be old hat, but it is still more romantic than any other out there. Anne, who's in a nursing home for Alzheimer's, is no longer allowed to have visitors. Well, that's not going to stop John from finding a way to sing to his bride.
Hopefully we'll send a link, and hopefully that video is that's one that, man, everybody needs to see. But I love that. I love the fact that nothing was going to hold her husband back from finding his bride. And the way Alzheimer's works, when it starts to take the memory away, some of those things that you have been convicted of all the way from your childhood, those things start to come out. Those things are resurrected. And as he starts singing Amazing Grace, she remembered those words. Don't ever settle in this life until you've found Jesus and allow him to be your song, to be the reason you have for living, for getting back up when you've been knocked down by life. He is not here. He is risen. He is risen. Now, that's a story worth telling. That's a story worth sharing. That's a story worth living. He has risen is the rest of the story, and it must be a vital part of our story. Guys, to answer God's call to our hearts of how and why we do what we do, brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen of all ages, we've got an empty grave in front of us. He has risen is the answer that we can give to Satan in all the various forms he comes at us with. When he comes knocking on our door, when he tries to manipulate our hearts and our minds to hang out with him, we can say with conviction, not today, not a chance, Satan, because my Lord has risen. Satan offers a bunch of hopeless, temporary emptiness, but my God offers hopeful, eternal fullness. Embrace the fullness of Jesus and everything he is offering you. We've got to realize, though, in order for there to be a resurrection, there has to be a death first. I want you to count how many times "with him" is used. In Romans 6, what shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. If we have been united with him like this in his death, we will also certainly be united with him in his resurrection. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died, He died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. You are so special to Jesus. Have you found him? He's not in a tomb. He has risen. This connection, this relationship, this bond with him is an eternal treasure. The scars you have, the marks on your heart, he knows them and he feels them with you. When our kids were younger and we were tucking them into bed at night, I would whisper in their ear, "Who loves you?" And they would say, "You do, Daddy." "Who else loves you?" "Mommy, who else loves you?" And Tyler would say, "Jason?" He'd say, "Yes. Who else loves you?" And Tyler was notorious for this. He would say, I said, "You know, Tyler." And he would say, "Jesus." We'd say, "Who loves you?" "Jesus." "Who loves you?" "Jesus." That's right. That's right. Believe it. Live it. Share it. I love you all. Let me pray for you. God, thank you for your love. Thank you for giving us hope. Thank you for the fact that so many other gods with little g's out there, they do not even compare to what you have offered and continue to offer. Father, we are so thankful that we serve a risen God, that you are living and active, and that your hand is in everything that we do. Father, be with us as your people, that we can live a life with you and crave for the times that we get to be with you and to share you with everybody around us. Father, allow this time to have impact in everything that we do. Father, we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.